guys are looking good. Who's feeling better than they look? Who looks better than they feel? It's a loaded question both ways, isn't it? Hey, I want to thank everybody for, you know, your belief and support and engagement and hard work with Church Together. Well done. What a fantastic night. So let's give everyone a hand. Lizzie, amazing job. Well done. Fantastic. Lizzie manages it all and leads it so amazingly. So well done. Josh and Katie. Josh is gone. Katie's at the Derwent Valley. She's not on the live link, so we can't poke fun at her. But she has done an amazing job with Josh and a whole team, and then others that are not from our church, people like John Cav, and, you know, all sorts of incredible people. So I'm very proud of them all. It was a fantastic night. And even if we do a little reception afterwards for some of our partners and, you know, our ministers around town that are connected with us. But it was just interesting hearing what Darlene had to say, Darlene Check, at that little get-together, just about something amazing that's actually been established in Hobart and needs to continue. So that was very encouraging. So thanks, everybody. Okay, I've been talking. Well done, team. You guys are amazing. You could stay, Jessica, and do the TD Jakes thing, but I'll let you have a break. Yeah. I've been speaking about momentum over the last couple of weeks. We've had a little bit of a break in between. We had James McPherson here. Who enjoyed having James with us? Wasn't that fantastic? And something else, Dan actually introduced himself as the pastor of our PM service and somebody who loves being at the morning. But I just want to encourage you that I think last Sunday or the Sunday before when James was here, both our services were about the same size. So the PM service is growing. So I think if you've got high ownership of this morning service, you might have to just get a bit more action, or it might get overtaken by the night service. So come on, a bit of healthy competition here. Let's get it going. But that's exciting. Now, the reason I say that is it's just sometimes we, you know, you only get a snapshot of where you are. I'm just trying to help you see like a whole church. You know, there's a pumping night service. There's great things happening in the Derwent Valley. Have a talk to Simon and Jane at the moment. They're very excited about what's going on in the valley. I know Grant preached up there last weekend and a fantastic Sunday morning up there. So let's be excited about what God's doing across the board. And sometimes we get stuck in our own little sphere, but let's look out and see what he's doing across the board. Let's see what he's doing across our city. Anyway, momentum. You get me sidetracked. The definition that we've been talking about is the product of mass and velocity. Yesterday in the afternoon, I took the kids to this park in sort of Sandy Bay, Dunearn, at the end of Parliament Street, and it's got this really cool big slide. Have you seen the one? And so I took the kids there, and they were going up and down the slide and having a lot of fun. And then one of them wanted to go with me, you see. So we went together, and we actually went a lot faster. The pair of us went a lot faster together than he actually did by himself. You know, we were flying down this thing, and because, you know why? We had a bit more mass. So once we got that mass moving, and we, you know, it actually increased velocity, and we brought a great momentum. We got to the end of it, and then I had to work out what I was going to do with all that momentum that I had. But, you know, sometimes you think, okay, it's a bit hard to get moving, but once you get something moving, it's amazing what actually will continue. And I want to encourage you over the last few weeks, we've talked a bit about that, and I said, hey, let's see what we can do. Let's have a six-week challenge. Let's turn up regularly for 6 weeks. Let's be part of that. And I've actually seen, and as a team, we've actually seen as a church, that we've got a lot further away than 6 weeks from when that was. But we've actually seen the momentum of our church increase. Yeah. Challenge now is let's keep it building. Let's not just say, hey, that's cool. Let's keep it building. So So if momentum is the product of mass and velocity, basically we need to get our mass moving and keep it moving. So momentum in life is much more than activity, I reckon. It's being positioned in the center of God's will and purpose. So if you want momentum in your life, get yourself positioned in the center of God's will and his purpose. And sometimes we say, oh, God's will and God's purpose for my life. And I don't know that much whether that's that important. I think it's just more important to be part of God's will and God's purpose. Because sometimes we sort of want to boil it down and think God's got this amazing will and purpose for my life. But actually, he's got a will and purpose, and your life fits into that, and that is the most amazing place that you can be. Yeah. I think the trouble with 21st century Christianity is we make it too individual. Yeah. You know, God's will and purpose for me in my little sphere, where actually God's will and purpose is actually a great big sphere, and your little sphere fits intrinsically into that, and it is amazing in that place. But when we inverse our thinking and we only see it about that, we actually miss what he's doing. And sometimes our bubble pops and we wonder what's going on and it all goes pear-shaped and we think it doesn't work anymore. But if we're part of something much bigger, when our bubble pops, we're still part of something much bigger. You see, if your bubble pops and your bubble is all you've got, well, it pops, that's all you've got. But when you're part of something that's much bigger than that and something goes a bit wrong, well, you're still part of it. It doesn't change. We experience momentum when we're placed right internally and externally with the right people with a purpose bigger than ourselves. And speaking of a purpose bigger than ourselves, something really big happened in our world the other week. We replaced our washing machine. Now, I've had that, and it's still working. In some ways, it's better than the new one, but we've had this washing machine for, I don't know, about 25 years. It's a Fisher & Paykel. I've rebuilt it once, and it's just kept going. But the problem is, the reason that we replaced it was that as it's got a little bit more worn, and we're inclined to just load it up, and when I'm putting stuff in it, I just keep putting it in. And that's what you do with them. How? There is only one temperature that a bloke runs the oven, isn't there? 11. Like a Marshall amplifier. 11. Anyway, as it's got a little bit more worn, the only real problem with it is it spins off balance. It's really inclined to spin off balance. And you know that beautiful sound? You're in your house, he's doing what you're doing, and somewhere in the distance is that soothing sound of a washing machine going, which is okay. And then all of a sudden, it just takes over the atmosphere and the environment, and you can't ignore it because it says, come and get me, or I'm coming out to get you. Maybe you've had an out-of-balance wheel on your car. Has anybody had that? And, you know, that can be all right at certain speeds. And at other speeds, it's like, wow, that car, that wheel is, it's going to get off. It's actually going to unattach itself and come inside your car. It goes pretty wild. Sometimes when life just feels like it's not quite right or we're not sort of quite there, we say, hey, I just need to get myself a little centered. I had that experience when I came into church this morning. Got up this morning and we had a pretty good morning. Everything was going pretty well. And just in those few moments of, okay, we've got to transition from where we are now to the car, get to church. Alex is going to the valley. I'm coming here. And two or three children decided to be completely uncooperative. In fact, one of them had a meltdown about, you know, nothing really, but, you know, and all of a sudden our plans to get here just all became more difficult. And I got here and then another one of them decided she wasn't going to be very cooperative getting out of the car and all those things that went on. And so by the time I got in here, I'm thinking those things are not very big deals, but I just need to get myself a bit more centered. What does it take? What does it take to live a balanced or centered life? What does it take so that your life is not like that washing machine? You know, jumping up and down on the spot, angry, trying to come out of the laundry at you. When Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he addresses it pretty clearly. And he talks about where and who and what our centre needs to be. And he says this in Ephesians, and this has been key verses for Church Together this year. And I love the angle and the feel that the Message Bible gives it. It says all this energy, and if you read the verses before, it talks about, you know, the energy of the universe and where it is and where it comes from. And then he says all this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven. Have you ever thought about where deep heaven is? We talk about high heaven, but deep heaven. Anyway, that's just a sidetrack here. God raised him from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven in charge of running the universe. Everything from galaxies to governments, no name, no power is exempt from his rule. And not just from the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all. He is the final word on everything. And then he goes on, at the center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks, acts, and by which he fills everything with his presence. Wow. It's big, isn't it? Big. All this energy issues from Christ. I reckon two of the buzzwords of perhaps the past 15 years, Peter Burnett will be right with me here, sustainability and energy efficiency. We talk about sustainability and energy efficiency. We talk about the way that we live, particularly in our Western world, where we talk about it and don't do it, but we talk about it a lot, about sustainable living. We talk about reducing our footprint. We talk about what we do, being able to function beyond the now. And then we talk about energy, because we realize that a lot of the energy that we are using isn't infinite, that it will run out. I mean, I remember having a bit of a breakdown moment when I was about 10 or 11, when they told us that oil was going to run out. And if oil ran out, we wouldn't have any more cars.
Oh, no.
And I couldn't imagine a world without cars. I mean, what would I do? What would I get excited about? How could we function without cars? And it used to scare me. Not all the other things, not that we, you know, couldn't have plastic and all sorts of things, but just cars. Anyway. We're still driving cars. But we've understood that most of the energy we use isn't infinite. That there'll be a payday somewhere. And we're understanding that perhaps we don't live in a sustainable manner. For something or someone to be sustainable, it must have a reliable and dependable source of energy. It's interesting, a couple of years back in our little sphere here in Tasmania, in our little island state, and it stopped raining, which was, some people think's good in Tasmania, but it stopped raining. Our dams that provide our electricity you know, became lower and lower and lower. And we thought, oh, that's okay. We've got this cable that connects us to Victoria and the rest of Australia. And, you know, we still got electricity. And then a shark bit it in half. And we felt a bit alone. And we thought, this energy, what are we going to do? How are we going to get through the winter? We're all going to get cold. And everybody was talking about it and wanting to kick the government out. And all sorts of things were happening because we felt like we didn't have enough energy to get us through the winter. And we started to panic. If you want to be sustainable, most things that are sustainable are centered, if you like, or they rotate around a sustainable energy source. Think about our solar system. What actually keeps all those planets where they are from sort of just going randomly out into the universe is that they are connected to a huge and massive energy source called the sun. And then the gravitational energy of that actually keeps those planets rotating around that energy source. And what actually maintains the stability, and particularly here for us on planet Earth, what gives us life, what makes it possible, is that energy source called the sun. And while ever our planet revolves around that sun, we're going to have energy here on this earth in some form. In fact, there's probably more than we could ever use if we understood how to use it. And did you know, for your life, you have available to you more energy and more sustainability than you can ever imagine if you can actually just start to get an understanding of how you tap into that and how you use it and how you keep it flowing in your life. You see, your life does not need to be something, when you think about it, that it is not sustainable, that it is going to run out, that you've got to manage it, that somehow God created you and He put you on this earth and He said, I've given you this much, and when it's gone, it's gone, you're going to keel over. He said, you know what? Your life is only limited by your mind and your thinking and your imagination and your faith and your trust in me. There is no limit to what God has for you. People always gravitate around a source of energy, don't they? When you're camping, everybody sits around the campfire. You know, you get circles around the campfire because there is energy in the middle that heats. Even in social settings, you'll often find you go into a party and you find little groups of people talking, and often they are gravitating around some sort of charismatic personality who's providing a bit of energy in that moment. It's just how the world works. Sometimes we talk about time management, don't we? Who struggles with time management? And I had a few little issues with it this morning. Had a discussion with it about my wife at one point, but we She told me that I don't go as fast in the morning as she does. That's what I said. I said, Alex, you've been on drugs again. We're not on Live Link. It's good. Bet she knows before I get home. We talk about time management. The reality is you can't manage time. You can't manage time. Tick, 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 tick. Your life just got 10 seconds, further down its track. You're never going to get those back. You can't manage time. No matter what we do, the clock just keeps ticking. Do you feel encouraged? There's actually only one occasion I'm aware of where time stood still. It's when the Israelites were taking on the promised land. In other words, when they were stepping in to the purpose of God, time actually stood still. We're told that the sun actually stopped. I don't know how God made it happen, but it stopped. It's the only time I'm aware of that it's happened. We can't stop or manage time, but you know what we do have control over is our energy expenditure. But not only our expenditure, but where we draw that energy from. Mostly you'll get done what you have energy for. See, some of you think, I didn't get that done and that done and that done, but you still checked Facebook.
Oh, hello. Made it real.
Or you did this or you did that, but, I wanted to do that, but somehow it didn't happen. See, energy management is actually what it's about rather than time management.
Yeah, wow.
You actually manage what you put your energy and your effort into. And what I've found out is the more things that I have in my world, the more different things that I actually carry, even though I've got a God who is infinite, I've got to work sort of within what I understand at the moment. And it's not about how much time I have, it's about the energy that I have and where I need to be putting most of my energy to be most efficient at any point in time. So to live centered, I think this is an important part. I think you've got to make Jesus your primary energy source.
Yeah,
if you want to live centered, you've got to make Jesus your primary energy source. I could say, make Jesus the center of your life, and that would be true. But I don't quite know how that works. But I think if we think, well, where do we take our energy from? Where do we draw our enthusiasm? Where do we draw stuff from? And you make Jesus your primary energy source, and you're going to be connected and you're going to revolve around him because he is your lifeline. But if it's out over here or somewhere else, it's almost like you park up every now and again just to fill up. You know, you're not like some sort of super tanker that goes around the world and pulls into a port to fill up occasionally. You know, when we make Jesus our energy source, we always know which direction he is. We always know where to find him because he's always in the center. It doesn't matter if you're on one of those merry-go-rounds and you're going round and round and round. You don't know where you are on the circumference of that thing at any time if you go fast enough. You lose track of where you are positioned, but you always know where the center is. And sometimes life can be a bit like that. Stuff's coming at us here, there, and everywhere it's going on, and you don't quite know where you are or what's going to happen next. And sometimes we get so wound up about that, but the important thing is we know where our center is, we know where Jesus is, we know where our energy source is, and at any time we can be feeling like we're out of balance, but we just turn to the center, reach in, and there he is. Come on. You see, if you make Jesus your primary energy source, you will stay connected to him and you will keep him at the center of your thinking, your decisions, your relationships, your values, your ethics, your family, your finances, and your purpose. So rather than saying, I've got to be centered around Jesus, we'll think, well, where do I draw my energy from? How does that work? Well, when you get up in the morning, you need some energy for the day. You eat your Weet-Bix, but you also spend some time with Jesus and actually you connect to him for your energy source. It's actually as simple as that. And it's understanding where it comes from and where you engage with it, where you reach into that. To live centered, number two, I think you've got to place yourself under the ultimate authority.
Yeah,
Place yourself under the ultimate authority. I think we're so good at saying, Jesus is my friend, or my homie, or my mate. And if that's the way you think about Jesus, that's what you'll get from Jesus. If you want Jesus as a mate, yeah, you'll get a mate. You'll get somebody that you can sort of tune in with when you need or want to tune in with him. But if you think of Jesus as the ultimate authority, it changes the whole ball game. And it says this in the verses we're just reading. God raised him from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven. In other words, so far into the spiritual realm that nothing else has got authority over that. In charge of running the universe, everything from galaxies to governments, no name and no power is exempt from his rule. If you want to have authority and substance and a bit of grunt in life, well, place yourself under Jesus, the ultimate authority. If you want to have Jesus as a mate or a homie or a Facebook friend, that's what you'll get. Because he's not going to leave you. He's not going to give up on you, but he can't work with you if you don't make him your final authority.
Yeah, true.
All right, to live centered. I think it's pretty clear when you read this that you've got to keep the church at your center. You've got to keep the church at your center. You got to keep the church at your center. Because what's the church? The church is Christ's body in which he acts and works and influences and reaches people and turns lives around and keeps you on track and keeps you centered. And keeps you from going off into a different solar system. The church has to be at the center. At the center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world, but the world is peripheral to the church. Just hold that thought for just a moment on a grander scheme, but bring it back to your world. The church is not peripheral to your world. It's not something that's out there at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, and then you go to it, and then you leave it, and then you get back to it. No, the church, you see, is not peripheral to your world. Your world is actually peripheral to the church. Come on.
That's great, though. Great preaching.
The world that we live in is not peripheral to the church.
Yeah, great.
At the moment, social change is actually trying to push the church out to the side of society so that it's not peripheral, you know, that it feels like it's peripheral. It will not work.
Yeah.
It has never worked. Every time in history the church has been pushed out to the side of society, it actually comes back with stronger and greater influence and greater impact.
Yeah.
The Dark Ages in Europe actually meant that the church became irrelevant. It was in the center, but you know, people tried to maintain it and control it. What happened? It lost its impact. It became irrelevant to everyday life. What happened? We had a reformation and Europe got turned around.
Yeah.
It will happen again. It will happen again and again, because the church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church because it is Christ's body in which he acts and speaks and reaches people. Come on. We can go to church or we can be the church. Church can be something else you fit in to your world. Oh, I've got tennis, and I've got work, and I've got book club, and I've got the kids, and my family. I've got my sisters and my mum. Gee, they take some managing. I've got my education. I've now got my finances, managing 3 credit cards that are all maxed out. And then I'm trying to fit church in there. And actually, I wake up Sunday morning and, oh, gee, I just can't go this week because I have not got enough energy. I need to lie in bed because I don't know if I can face another person with a fake smile that's going to ask me how I am. Wow. So I'll just lie in bed today. I haven't got the energy for it. Wow. You see, we've got to turn our thinking around. We've got to turn our thinking around. It's not something that you add to your life. It's something that you are part of. It is your life. And everything else revolves around that and you fit it in. If you're having trouble fitting a church world into your life, well, Jesus perhaps is not the center. And I'm not just talking about getting to the right programs. I'm talking about where your heart and your connection and your sustainability is. Is it something you're trying to fit in, or is it something that's center and we fit life in around that?
Such a solid message, though.
Church can be something else you do, or it can be who you are.
Wow.
It can be your duty, something you have to get done. Or it can be your base, your home, your family, and the very body in which you are part of.
Yeah.
See, if you're part of a body, you're not going to run off and just try and be a leg by itself. You're not going
to
get very far, are you? But your leg works pretty well when it's connected to another leg and a hip,
yeah,
and blood supply, and a nervous system, and a brain. Come on, let's know where we're connected.
It's a good day.
Karl Marx. Interesting, isn't it? We've had the Cold War, we've had all the things, but a lot of this thinking's pretty out there again. He wrote about a new man. He wrote about a new society. But he saw man and society pretty much both in economic terms. In Ephesians that we've just been preaching from, Paul saw a new man and a new society, but he saw it as complete and accomplished and sustainable and not limited because of what Jesus Christ has done. Come on, we can make so much more difference. And how does it start? I reckon if we started to talk about it, most of us would feel that our life's a little bit out of balance somewhere. And maybe that doesn't matter as much as you think it does. Maybe that's not quite as important as you think it is.
Such a good message.
See, with my old washing machine, if it became out of balance and you let it spin like that, eventually something's going to break.
Yeah.
Because the center, the axle that it's connected to, isn't infinite. Did you know what? You're connected to something in Christ that is unlimited. Its potential goes on and on and on. And you know what? It doesn't matter if you're a little bit out of balance at some point. As long as you keep him at your center and keep rotating, you know what? You will actually find a balance and you will become more centered because you're attached to him. And so often we're trying to work on the stuff out here. We're trying to adjust the things on the outside when actually all that's required is to understand who we're connected to, where our energy source is, and you know what? And he'll work the rest out.
Wow.
If the band want to join me, we'll finish in a sec. Let's decide that we are going to be centered around Jesus. Let's know that we're not just doing church, not even just sort of part of church, but we are the church, that we are intrinsically engaged with that because it's who we are. I mean, I'm intrinsically engaged with all my body. Even the bits that I don't like so much, they're still there. They come with me. And actually, if, you know, I can think, oh, gee, my nose is a bit big. But if you come along and say, hey, Dave, you don't like your nose very much, let me punch it. I won't be very happy with you. Because I feel it.
Yeah.
Lets me breathe. Works. It's here. Sometimes in the church, we sort of think there are these bits and pieces that perhaps they don't matter very much. And you can feel like you're one of those pieces sometimes. But you are valuable. You are needed. You're important. Just make sure you are connected and you're drawing your energy source from the center. Christ is the center of our world, and the church is the center of our society, and it should be the center of our world. You know, there are people around who say, hey, I'm all for Jesus, but I've got some problems with the church. You can't say that. It's theologically incorrect. Because the church is Christ's body, so you cannot separate them. You can't. Now, what if we're going to love Jesus? We are the church. I tell you what, I know I'm preaching to the choir here. I'm preaching to believers. You love it. But hey, let's carry this stuff.
Yeah, great.
Let's take it with us. Let's stand up and let's talk about, you know, the church. Talk about how much we love Christ's body. Let's be positive about, you know, then you break it down, the body that we're part of here. Let's talk about what he's doing in us. Let's just continue to build that momentum. Let's continue to go forward with that. Come on, let's stand, because I think we've actually got to allow ourselves to tap into an energy source that is unlimited. And let's make sure that we are revolving around Christ. Let's make sure that we are drawing from him. Don't worry about this time you're trying to control and what you're going to do in the next 25 years of your life. What are those things? First of all, make sure you have got Jesus as your primary energy source. Make sure you're drawing from Him. He can do in you infinitely more than ever you have imagined or thought of if you draw energy from Him. Come on, let's lift His name up right now.